السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We continuing with the majlis of Hazrat Imam Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi. So many a times we hear about jihad, and when we see what is happening in the Muslim Ummah, we see what's happening, the massacres that are taking place, etc., then from many circles we will hear the echoes that why isn't jihad taking place? So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali explains a few aspects pertaining to jihad. So he says, let us now look into the subject of jihad. Waging jihad. Now when we talking about waging jihad, we're talking about jihad-e-amali, meaning that now you're going to go into the battlefield. So this jihad-e-amali against the kuffar, it is not to force them to bring iman. The objective of jihad-e-amali is not to force disbelievers to become believers. The objective is not to force them that now you become Muslim, otherwise we're going to kill you. It's not like that. The objective of jihad is to remove the obstacles that are there, which prevent isha'at-e-nas. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a deen, the shariat, which the Quran Sharif is the main source of the laws of Allah Ta'ala, then the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then the ijma of the ummah, the consensus of the ummah, and qiyas. So this whole shariat that we have, if it is adhered to, then this will bring about the salvation of humanity. The rule book needs to be the shariat. If every country in the world adopts the shariat, then humanity, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, will be successful in their dunyavi life. In their worldly life, they'll be successful. There'll be peace, there'll be harmony, there'll be a justice system, everything. Obviously, when a believer adopts it, then there'll be success in the dunya, there'll be success in the qabr also, there'll be success in the akhirat also. Success in the qabr and the akhirat, this is exclusive to mu'mineen, to believers. Because that is the real objective, the success in the hereafter. So a disbeliever is not successful in the hereafter. Today's time, with all this Abrahamic accords and interfaith and all of that, so unfortunately, so many people, even knowledgeable people, are coming out with some absurd views with regards to salvation being granted to kuffar in the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala makes it very, very clear that if a person has to die on shirk, yes, a person could have been committing shirk his whole life, but towards the latter portion of his life, he made tawbah, he made istighfar, he brought iman. Now that person would be successful. But if a person died on kufr, he died on shirk, he died on atheism, he died on Hinduism, Buddhism, whatever it may be, whichever ism, Now there is no maghfirat for that person. There is no salvation in the akhirat for that person. A mu'min, a person with iman, no matter how many gunas the person may have committed in his or her life, but as long as the person passed away with iman, this person will attain salvation. Whether immediately or whether after some time, whether with punishment or without punishment, but eventually the person will attain success because the person passed away with iman. If a person doesn't pass away with iman, there is no question of success in the hereafter. Understand? So the main real objective is to get that success in the akhirat. In the dunya also, Allah Ta'ala has created good things. There are certain good things in the world also. And He has created for whom? He's created for the same makhluk of His. But the things of the dunya, the good things of the dunya. See, you take a steak connoisseur, right? Person who is a steak connoisseur now. So you ask him, what's the best portion, you know, best steak portion? So now somebody will tell you the fillet, somebody will tell you, no, porterhouse, somebody will tell you something else. Everybody got their own favorite, right? Then you ask the person, now which breed of cattle you'll get the best meat? Now somebody will tell you Angus, and somebody will tell you Brangus, and somebody will tell you Wagyu, and some all will have their own opinion, right? Now, if there is a predator, and he gets hold of that Wagyu, so he too is going to enjoy. The predator also going to enjoy fillet steak, T-bone steak, everything. And when that predator is finished with it, then the hyena too will come and enjoy. The vulture too will come and enjoy. And when all of them are finished, then the maggots too will enjoy. So that insan who will buy one prime cut, and sometime he goes to one royal restaurant to have it prepared also, you know, in such a way, and he pays so much for it, but that same cut the animal too will eat. The kuffar also will eat. Sometime the kuffar will have even better cuts. So that's the world. The world, there is good things in the world also. Allah Ta'ala has kept good things. Person has got a good home. Person has got a good vehicle. All these are ni'mats of the dunya. You got a beautiful garden. That too is a ni'mat of the dunya. But that the kafir will have also, the Muslim will have also. And sometimes the animals enjoy it more. Sometimes the animals, they spend more time there. They enjoy it even more. So everything will enjoy. Jinnat too will enjoy. Animals will enjoy. Birds will enjoy. And even sometimes certain things, we don't want them there, but they too will be enjoying. You are a nice, beautiful tree in your yard. And there is one bluehead living on that tree. You don't want that thing there, but it's there. In the yard, you got nice, beautiful garden, nice, beautiful hedge and all that. But Mr. Snake is living inside there. You don't want him there. But you're putting so much of effort and compost and all that into that hedge, and Mr. Snake is living inside there. And some of them you won't even know that they are there, right? Mr. Frog too will come here. Everybody will come. They all have a share in it because it's the dunya. But when it comes to the akhirat, that is exclusive. That is exclusive to people with iman. Kuffar are not allowed into Jannah. Kuffar are not allowed to enjoy the fragrance of Jannah in their qabr. That is only for mu'mineen, that is for believers. So now, the only way that a person can get these enjoyments in the akhirat is by isha'atinas. This word of Allah Ta'ala, it must be readily available, freely available for everybody. And it must be available for everyone to practice on the laws of Allah Ta'ala. Right? In the sense that if somebody commits zina and he is unmarried or she is unmarried, then the punishment of being lashed 100 times, that must be meted out. If someone, a married person, committed zina, then the stoning must take place. If somebody stole and all the conditions, etc. are found, then his hand must be chopped off, cut off. If somebody slandered, then they must be lashed. All the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the hudud, coming right down, whatever it may be, it must be there. It mustn't be, you see, if there was an Amirul Mu'mineen, and if there was the rule of Sharia, then this Saudi Arabia wouldn't be able to have a Halloween party. Halloween party, they give it a name. They call it Halloween party. So it's a party, alright. Party sounds nice. Let's party. You know, so party sounds like nice. But what is Halloween? When you look at all these pictures and all these things, what is it? If it's not satanic worship, what is it? If it's not filthy and to do with shayateen and devil worship, what is it? So you think if there was a proper Amir al-Mu'mineen, the proper law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would people be able to behave in this manner? Now those masum children who are growing up there, and their parents are taking them along, dressing them up also like one devil, to them this is normal now. And every year it gets worse. Every year it gets worse. So now, there is an obstruction, right? If you want to go and put an end to this, you won't be allowed. There is an obstruction. So many things of deen, there is an obstruction. You go to so many countries, countries that experienced zulam of the kuffar, like all this Balkan states, etc. They experienced zulam. They went through war. So many of their people were killed. Genocides took place. Ethnic cleansing took place. That time they were not using this word genocide. That time they were using the word ethnic cleansing. Ethnic cleansing was taking place. Today in those very same places, they say, no, there's a ban on hijab. You can't wear hijab. There's a ban on keeping a beard. Now, the people of those countries, they are not being allowed to practice on the deen of Allah Ta'ala. In non-Muslim countries, they have adopted the law of man. The law of man, which legalizes prostitution. It legalizes gambling. It legalizes alcohol. All these things which Allah Ta'ala has prohibited, now they have legalized it. So now the people growing up in those places, all this thing is normal now. So these are all blocks. These are all the things that are blocking the progress of mankind and the spread of the deen of Allah Ta'ala. So when there is this blockage of the isha'at of nas, that is why you have jihad. That's why you have jihad. So when the mu'mineen, when they go to a place for jihad, they don't go there and tell the people that you accept Islam or we're going to kill you. No. They go and present Islam to them. But you accept or you don't accept, that's your choice. You don't accept, no problem. We got the second choice. You don't want to accept it, no problem. You stay. What, you want to remain a Christian? You want to remain a Jew? Whatever you want to remain, you remain. But the law of Allah Ta'ala needs to be established on this land. We are the khulafa of Allah Ta'ala on earth. So the law of Allah Ta'ala needs to be established. That's the only way salvation is going to come. Now if they refuse that, you're not fighting with them. You stay, you carry on, run your business. Your house is there, your business is there. You got your farm there, you got your practice. You carry on, no problem. Nobody's interfering with you. You got your church there also, nobody is interfering with you. You got your synagogue there, nobody is interfering with you. You carry on. But the law of Allah Ta'ala will reign supreme on this land. Now, if you don't accept that, then now, this is a problem. Because this is Allah's land. It's like, I have come into your house. Now you tell me that, see, we'll be eating here. I say, no, I'm coming to eat in your bedroom. I'm not eating here in this dining room. I'm coming to eat in the bedroom. Then you tell me, no, you see, the toilet is here. I say, no, man. The toilet is not there. I like the dining room. Now what you'll say? No, but see, you either understand that this is a dining room, that is a bedroom, that is a toilet, this is a kitchen. If you're prepared to understand all this, then we can carry on here. But if you're not prepared to understand all of this, then I have to forcefully remove you. I can't allow you to just do your own thing. I have to forcefully remove you. So it seemed like that. You have come into Allah's land. You make your own laws. Allah Pak gave this law, you saying no, you want to rule like that. Allah Pak said this is haram, you say no, this is legalized. Allah Pak said this is filth, you say no, this is very good. So now, by you either listen to Allah's law, or we have to forcefully remove you. Same thing. However, when the ummah is weak, and you don't have the ability. You don't have the ability. What the ability is, when you talk about the ummah being weak and the ummah doesn't have the ability, we'll come to what that means just now. When the ummah is weak and doesn't have the ability, then you don't put yourself into destruction. You don't put yourself into destruction. You have to wait to make yourself strong. Before you go forward to do things like this. This is why when the mu'mineen were in Makkah Mukarramah for 13 years, they were undergoing so much of persecution, so much of opposition, not being allowed to practice their deen, etc. But Allah Ta'ala didn't give them permission to take up arms. There was no jihad. The only thing they were doing at that time was bringing about spiritual discipline. Spiritual discipline. What we talk about, fighting the nafs. Fighting the nafs. So that's the only thing that they were doing. To such an extent that all nafsaniyat must be removed. All this nafsani elements, all that must be removed. And there must only be Rida goi, rida joi. This is Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali's words. What is meant by this? Whatever is said must be solely for Allah Ta'ala. Whatever is done must be solely for Allah Ta'ala. There's no nafsaniyat in it anymore. Everything that I'm doing is only for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This is the training, this is the strength of the Muslim. He must eliminate this nafsaniyat, that he's doing anything with ulterior motives. He's doing anything for show, he's doing anything just for some other motive. No, everything must only be for the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Right? Akhlaq must be improved. Akhlaq has to be improved. Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, they attained a level of perfection in these departments in those 13 years. Right? Then they came to Madina Munawara. Right? Now what happened was, all their actions, whether it was Taaleem, Ta'meel, Ilm, Amal, Muta'alliq bil-Zahir, Muta'alliq bil-Batin, Muta'alliq infiradi, Muta'alliq ijtimai, min haythul muamalat or min haythul muasharat, min haythul adat, min haythul akhlaq. Everything was only for Allah Ta'ala. Meaning, they're studying, they're making amal, they're making amal on something. One is you learning something, one is you making amal on something, right? One is things that are to do with your outward appearance, things to do with your insight, things to do with your personal self, things to do that are done collectively, whether it is to do with your transactions, whether it is to do with your social interactions, everything is only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we talk about islah, then this is what we are trying to achieve. This is what we are trying to attain. One's entire range of amal connected to learning, teaching, theory, practice, whatever it may be, must all become only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing must remain to intrude. Nothing must remain to intrude. Now this will result in every action being done within the framework of the Shariat. Right? Now everything will be done within the framework of the Shariat, the orders of Allah Ta'ala, whether it is in theory, whether it is in practice. So silently for 13 years, Sahaba radiallahu anhum progressed. They developed this firm, well-balanced akhlaq, well-balanced personalities, right? In Makkah Mukarramah, there was no other ibadat. There was no other ibadat that was prescribed, right? Now, only after Hijrat, after they made Hijrat, and they came to Madina Munawara, now a markaz was established. A markaz was established. The markaz was now Madina Munawara, right? The headquarters now. You had the headquarters. Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was established. The Muslims now had their own place. This was their markaz now. Right. So when this was established and the outside harassment persisted, the kuffar were not prepared to leave the Muslims. That, okay, they made hijrat, they're gone now. Whoever wants to go away there and they want to practice Islam, leave them, let them go. No. The harassment continued. Now Allah Ta'ala gave the instruction for jihad-e-amali. Go ahead now for jihad. So the Muslims now possessed a markaz and they had successfully passed the phase of jihad against the nafs. Now whatever the Sahaba radiallahu anhum did was within the limits set by the Sharia for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala with no personal motives. Consequently, the full help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was now with them. So now, even in the battlefield, sukoon entered the hearts. Sukoon entered their hearts. From one direction, sukoon was in the heart. And from the other direction, Sakina was descending on them. Tranquility was descending on them. In the midst of battle, they got sukoon in their hearts and Sakina is descending on them. Right? So jihad is not there to force people to bring iman. You hear the kuffar, you know, in their propaganda machines, yeah, these Muslims, they just want to come and enforce their law and make everybody Muslim here and that's all a lie. They themselves know it's a lie also. But they just continue lying to the gullible people out there. People who don't know, ignorant people, they carry on talking like that. When obstacles were placed in front of them, the initiation of hostilities was permitted. One is a jihad that is defensive, and the other is a jihad that is offensive. Both were allowed. Defensive, they coming to attack you, you're defending yourself. Offensive, no, we need to go there and set things right for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Both were permitted, right? When there was a direct confrontation against the Muslims, then this jihad was not only jaiz, but it became wajib. Became wajib. At times, the initiation of hostilities became wajib. Now, all that we'll find in the fiqh kitabs, ulama will be able to explain to us all the different situations, the different masail. At such times, jihad would be in the category of farz-e kifaya and in the category of farz-e ayn, when there is a mass attack against the Muslims. Right? Now, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he gives instruction, now it becomes farz-e ayn. Each and every individual, you have to just down tools, leave everything, and go and partake in the jihad. When there is an offensive, it is farz-e kifaya. If the Amir al-Mu'mineen has requested so many people, the people have gone, others have stayed behind, there's no problem. Long as some people have adhered to the call, they responded to the call, then no problem. But nobody responds to the call, everybody is guilty. Everybody is guilty. So we were talking about the strength of the Muslims. Two things are required. For jihad, two things are required. One is a markaz. You have to have a markaz. So obviously if you got a markaz, then you'd have a khalifa. So you have to have a markaz. And number two, there has to be taqwa. There has to be taqwa. Everything has to be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, it won't be a jihad. Otherwise, we'll just make fools of ourselves. But when there is taqwa and there is a markaz, these are the two requirements. Right? Only when a markaz has been acquired, thus two important factors connected with jihad have been established. One is the acquisition of a markaz. The second is the acquisition of taqwa. This fear of Allah Ta'ala, consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, that everything I am doing only for Allah Ta'ala. Allah is watching me, Allah is hearing me, Allah is observing me, every word I speak, Allah Ta'ala knows about it, every action of mine, Allah Ta'ala knows about it. This consciousness. So this is the taqwa. So to have a markaz is the illat. That is the illat. So the students of deen, now you will understand all of this. To have the markaz is the illat. And taqwa, this is the shart. Mere possession of the shart, which is an external factor, does not make jihad farz. These terms, illat and shart, will be better understood if explained with regards to salah. If you take salah, the command to perform salah, the command is the illat. That's the reason, isn't it? And the shart is wudu. If you don't have wudu, you can't perform namaz. The precondition for namaz is wudu. The illat is the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala gave hukam that we must perform namaz. So by adopting taqwa, sukoon entered the hearts of the Muslims. By acquiring a markaz, a unique strength and sakina came to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sakina that descended was from two sources. Internally, it entered their hearts through ilham. Allah Ta'ala divinely put it into the hearts. Externally, it came from assistance. Assistance can be in the form of malaika. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif that He assisted the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. He assisted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu with the malaika. And Allah Ta'ala mentions that there was no need that for Allah Pak to send that many malaika or this many, but this was for your peace of heart. Because insan is like that. He takes strength in this. Right? And sometimes the strength can come from insan also. Support from insan also. So, in the qissa of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala instructed Musa alayhi salam that he must go to Fir'aun. So Musa alayhi salam, he made dua to Allah Ta'ala. وَجْعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي. Give me one wazir, you know, like what we say, assistant, minister, you know, from my family. Who? Harun alayhi salam, my brother. So this can strengthen me. And Allah Ta'ala acceded to it. Allah Ta'ala gave him, Hazrat Harun alayhi salam, to join him on his mission. Because insan takes support from that. He takes strength from that. That now he got a company. Because Musa alayhi salam was going to Fir'aun. One side, Fir'aun is hostile towards him. And then Musa alayhi salam, he had a bit of a stutter. So this is what he gave those reasons, that Harun alayhi salam is more eloquent than me. So insan takes support from external help also, right? So it can be through man, it can be through malaika, right? For some, sakina and strength may also descend directly into the heart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any outside means. You take Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the ghar, in the cave. Now the enemy came there. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he is worried. What's going to happen? If they just look down, they'll see us. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is relaxed. La tahzan. Inna Allah ma'ana. Fa'anzalallahu sakinatahu alayhi. Allah ta'ala send his tranquility now. وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودِ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. And assisted him with an army. Allah Ta'ala's assistance. Allah Ta'ala's support. So the sakina comes down. So sometimes the sakina just, there's no outside support. There's nothing outside. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nobody else came there, nothing else came there. But what he's telling Abu Bakr, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. When they were fighting the Hawazin and the Saqif, everybody turned around, this whole chaos, mayhem. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gets onto the mule and he is advancing single-handed. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was instructed to make hijrat, the kuffar surrounded his house. With drawn swords, they surrounded the house. They're waiting for him to come out. They're going to attack him together. You think you can walk out like that? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just walks out. Sukoon, sakina. Support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the battle of Uhud, the sakina descended on the sahaba radiallahu anhu. In the thick of the battle, they fell out to sleep. You can sleep in a battle. We can sleep in a program, yeah. That we can manage. But in the battle, you can sleep. In the battle, fell off to sleep. This was the tranquility that Allah Ta'ala sent down on them. When they woke up from that sleep, all the tiredness left them. They felt light. They were rejuvenated, recharged now. We continue this discussion, inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hayati. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma lakal hamdu kulluh wa lakal shukru kulluh. Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir anna sayyiatina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Allahumma inna nas'aluka as-sihha wal 'iffa wal amana wa husnal khuluq والرضا بالقدر. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر المسلمين في غزة وفي السودان وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في أرض الإسلام. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.